And if author Michelle McNamara was still alive, she'd no doubt be writing the epilogue to her mesmerizing book about the Golden State Killer, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. When Michelle died suddenly in 2016, her husband, the comedian Patton Oswalt, made sure the book was published. We spoke in March on the book tour.
I hope something helps to break. That's what we're all hoping. Everyone that's obsessed with this guy, we're all hoping to bring him to justice.
And Michelle will no doubt have been in some way a part of that.
Yes. Oh, she definitely. I mean, she named him. She named him the Golden State Killer. That hopefully puts more light and focus on him.
And police are now saying it did. Patton brought in Michelle's longtime researcher, Paul Haynes, and the investigative reporter, Billy Jensen, to finish the book she started. Let's bring Billy in now. And again, a warning. Some of this may be tough to listen to. But Billy, your thoughts when you first heard this news?
It's been a whirlwind. You know, we were all in Chicago for the book tour, and we were there with Gillian Flynn, Paul Haynes, and Patton and myself.
Gillian Flynn, the crime writer.
And exactly.
you were talking about this book and the hope that he would be caught.
Right. And we were, you know, somebody had talked to us and said, you know, the question came, do you think he'll ever be caught? And the question went to me, and I said, absolutely, he's going to be caught. Mm-hmm. And they said, why? I said, well, because we have his DNA. It's not like the Zodiac Killer or anything like that. We do have his DNA. And mm-hmm. little did I know that they were probably filing the paperwork right then and outside of his door waiting for him to come out and nab him at that very moment.
Right.
So, you know, the news is not – it was a surprise of how quick it was. Usually there's a ramp up, but we didn't have that ramp up. It happened so quickly. It really happened within 6 days.
Right.
Even, you know, obviously they weren't talking to the media and they wanted to keep everything close to the vest. But.
Well, you and others have been tweeting and texting with Patton. He also has been texting us. I guess you both have been talking about feeling like you're dreaming.
Yeah, I started writing everything down because I really did question my consciousness and whether I was actually dreaming or not, because it just all seemed so very weird.
Well, talk about Michelle. She became involved in crime reporting when she was a little girl, and a young woman was killed in her neighborhood, and she went and picked up shards of the girl's Walkman, you know, even then, getting things from a crime scene that others had overlooked. She became, as an adult, part of an online community that flooded message boards trying to crowdsource, solve cold cases, highly respected by law enforcement. What did she think about the killer? What was the profile she had?
She definitely thought this wasn't a raving lunatic. This was somebody that was very meticulous. This was going to be a member of the community that you weren't necessarily completely got a warm feeling from, but he was there and he would go to events and he wasn't hiding in his house or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, she did think that he probably, you know, very well might have worked in construction. She definitely thought he might have tried to have been a police officer at some point, which was actually the case. It turns out he was a police officer. And we all thought that he probably had at least had a scanner because he had known where the police patrols were going to be and things like that.
Look, when she died at 46 in 2016, she had this 4,000-page thumb drive that she got of police reports. She writes, "My eyes were stripped by computer glare and as devoid of moisture as if they'd been vacuumed clean by an airplane toilet." She could write. But she was trusted by survivors, by family of those who didn't survive, by law enforcement. And she doesn't spare us the details in the book. You know, someone can write off rape as rough sex until you read her descriptions. Couples bound, naked, the man made to get on all four with the family china on his back. He's told if he spills one thing while his wife is being brutally attacked, she will be killed. A neighbor glances outside, sees a naked man bound hand and foot hopping out his front door. The neighbor can't figure this out and then realizes it's her neighbor trying to escape. You know, this capture is exciting, but behind it is horror.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we have to remember is the victims. And, you know, she had said that, and she wrote this in the book, that his power evaporates the moment we know him. And we've been chasing him for so long, and he had power over all of us and certainly had power over Michelle and power over the investigators. And now he's got no power anymore. He's done. Like Bruce Harrington said yesterday, he's history, you know, the brother of one of the victims. He's history. And, you know, we don't need to talk about him anymore. We need to, you know, certainly look into him. And the only reason to talk to him really is to make sure that he does stay behind bars or possibly gets the death penalty. And also what other crimes he might have committed, because that's my biggest question.
Well, that I was going to ask you your others, but we should say, of course, he hasn't, you know, been tried yet. But you're right. Michelle wrote, "There's a scream permanently lodged in my throat now. This took such a toll on her that once Patton came home late, she pounced up and grabbed a lamp and tried to hit him.
Yeah.
She was taking anti-anxiety medication when she suddenly died. She had an undiagnosed condition as well. So the toll that it took was amazing. But what were the other questions? Yes, other crimes. But what other questions do you have?
You know, there's some of the parlor game type of questions of people that know the case. Was that the his homework that he dropped at one of the crime scenes or outside one of the crime scenes? You know, those sort of things like that. Where did you come up with the plates idea? But really what I want to know is, A, why, obviously, but more importantly, who else did you do this to? Because I have a feeling that there are a lot of other victims out there, particularly, maybe not necessarily murders, but particularly sexual assaults. He did ramp up. You know, he might have been in one jurisdiction where they weren't doing rape kits. Yeah. So there's a lot of timelines that need to be built right now and a lot of archives that need to be gone through.
Quick question. Michelle was trusted and beloved by some of the law enforcement that had worked on this for decades. She wrote that they felt so close to this guy after years. They thought if they passed him in a mall, they would be able to smell him, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a bloodhound. Have you had a chance to talk to any of them?
Yeah, a couple of them. You know, they're excited. I wish they would have gotten a chance to speak at the press conference. You know, at the press conference, we really just heard from
Corinne.
Their bosses yeah. and the sort of politicians. We didn't get to hear from the investigators, the guys in the trenches. And, you know, they're excited, but they also got a lot of work to do and they want to fill in all the gaps. So, you know, the work is not done.
And I imagine the nightmares don't go away.
Certainly for the victims, no.
Yeah. Billy Jensen, investigative journalist who helped finish the book I'll Be Gone in the Dark, started by Michelle McNamara, Patton Oswalt's late wife. Billy, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And again, if this is the Golden State Killer, one of the questions Michelle had was, if he indeed stopped, why did he stop? She and police speculated it's because much of the spree was staking out homes, climbing through windows, vaulting over fences, casing bedrooms long before attacks, and that maybe he just became too old.